continuing in our Am I Mad to Believe? And this morning, you know, we were in the early prayer meeting, and I said to the guys, I'm on tonight, and I'm on Am I Mad to Believe? And could I remember? Could I remember what it was that we're mad to believe about? But I remembered it anyway. Am I mad to believe in the power of words? Am I mad to believe in the power of words? I mean, the Bible talks about there is the power of life and death in words. And sometimes, really, we say sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. Names can never hurt me. It really can. There is the power of life and death in words. And Keith said last week, am I mad to believe that I have a birthright? And in the days of Abraham and of Isaac, birthrights were taken very, very seriously. Your birthright was basically your inheritance, the blessing that you would receive or inherit from your father. And it was passed on and passed down with authority. And it was received as such. In those days, it was taken, as I said, very, very seriously. The firstborn son was usually favoured. And Keith had warned us last week about not having favourites. However, for the purpose of the women here, there was a man called Zelophehad. And he only had daughters. And they actually went to Moses and spoke to Moses and said, we tell you something, this isn't fair. You know, our dads only had daughters. Why should we lose out on any inheritance as far as land and whatever else is concerned? And Moses actually said, we went before the Lord and said, what's the crack? And the Lord said, the daughters of Zelophehad are right. And so the law was adjusted to ensure that daughter-only families wouldn't lose their inheritance. God considered the daughters as precious and that they were given the right to the inheritance as sons. So birthrights, as I said, were taken very, very seriously, and the blessing was passed down and it was deemed really important. Now, when you take that into consideration and you look at the video tonight, you know, society nowadays has lost any real sense of importance around birthrights. And today's birthright is mostly reduced to the contents of the last will and testament, or what some other people call the vulture hunt at the death of a loved one. I mean, we have lost the importance of birthright and blessings, and it's because we, I think, have lost the belief in the power of words. And I wondered just during the week, could it be revived again by replacing the terminology last will and testament of Mark Taddy Gordon to the final blessing of Mark Taddy Gordon? I mean, it wouldn't only have to be about material things. Imagine if we gave a final blessing. Imagine if we were in a position to have a deathbed experience and to speak out a final blessing with authority and even with prophetic insight over our loved ones or over a person's life. In Genesis 27, we see how seriously birthrights and final blessings were taken. Isaac was really old and he was going blind, and he wanted to pass on the blessing to his firstborn son, the birthright. He wanted to pass it on to Esau. But before doing so, he asked Esau, who was a hunter, to go and find game, to kill game, and to make him his favourite stew. Isaac's wife, Rebecca, was earwigging, and she overheard what was going on. And when Esau left to go hunting, she called her other son, Jacob, who was her favourite, and she devised a plan to guarantee that Jacob would receive Isaac's blessing. And Rebecca told Jacob to go to the flock, get two young goats with which she made a stew. She took the goat skins and she put them around Jacob's neck and his arms, because Esau was a hairy creature. And she put them around his neck and his arms to pretend that he was hairy Esau. And they went to such lengths to get a blessing. Jacob was the supplanter, the deceiver. He and his mother went to such lengths to deceive poor old going blind Isaac to get the blessing. Here was how seriously they took this.
Jacob then took the stew that his mother prepared and went to his father, pretending to be his brother, Esau. And his dad, although he was going blind, he wasn't completely stupid. He recognized the voice of his son. He said, "This is the voice of Jacob." So he pulled him over and smelt him. And he smelt because Esau's clothes on. And he says, "Well, he smells of the fields." And he felt his arm and his neck. And he was fooled into believing that this was Esau. And Isaac then blessed Jacob with what would have been the blessing, the birthright blessing of the firstborn. And let's hear what he said. "And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his clothing and blessed him and said, 'Surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let peoples serve you, and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you.'" That's Genesis 27, verses 27 to 29. This was the blessing. This was the birthright that Esau should have originally received. Well, of course, having completed the blessing, Jacob done a runner. He got offside very quickly, because shortly after, Esau came in, having been out hunting, and he had killed the game, he had made the stew, and he had brought the stew to his father, and here he was with the bowl of stew, sitting ready to get the blessing. And both he and Isaac were outraged that Jacob had deceived Isaac and had got the blessing which could not be revoked. Such was the power of these words. Esau, in fact, was so angry with Jacob that he planned, after his dad had died, he was going to murder his brother. Now, personally, I don't understand why Esau was so angry, because if you remember correctly, he had a short memory. Because he sold his birthright some time before. He sold it to Jacob for a bowl of red stew. As I said, birthrights and blessings were taken very seriously in those days. Jacob and his mother, at risk of being cursed, went to great lengths to get Isaac's blessing, the blessing of the firstborn. To what lengths would we go to get a blessing? Would we even believe in such a thing? This is why I don't do that "God bless you" now, when people are going and cheerio and all of that. I don't do it, because I don't think that's a blessing. Would we even believe in this type of blessing? Do we understand the power of words, of birthrights and of blessings? Would we be prepared to revive them and believe in the power of words? You see, we understand the concept of a last will and testament. We can laugh at that, but we probably all know people. Like, and I know people who were, you know, looking to see what they could get before the body was even cold. But we know the concept of the last will and testament. Usually we'll get a solicitor to write this up, and we declare to whom we want to leave our earthly possessions, etc., etc. And about 20 days after the demise of the testator, after the person's dead, the will is read and the beneficiaries receive their inheritance. And I joke all the time about how I wish somebody would die and leave me something in their will. Now, it's not, I couldn't care what it is. It's the excitement of getting a letter from a solicitor's office to attend a reading of a will as a beneficiary. You have been named as the beneficiary of in the late Lord so-and-so's will. You know, the buzz of just waiting to hear what it is that they've left you. Well, let me tell you so you don't get disappointed. When it comes to the reading of my will, I will have left you all with pleasure. Words are powerful. And written words can be powerful indeed. However, you can't write a will, "I wish." You can't write a will to say, "I leave Gary Irwin £1 million. If I don't have the £1 million in my bank account to leave. So the words must be supported by the substance. Isaac knew God had chosen Jacob the younger over Esau the firstborn. Even though Jacob had deceived his father, Isaac would quickly understand it was God's will that Jacob receive the firstborn birthright. God had told Rebekah, their mother, while the twins were in her womb, the older would serve the younger. And birthrights and blessings, as I said, were taken seriously in the days of Abraham and Isaac. They were deemed so important by Rebekah, Jacob, and Esau that they would go to great lengths to get it. But do we believe in the power of words? Do we believe in birthrights and blessings? Do you believe or understand, for example, that your birthright to be a child of God was stolen by Satan? Do you believe that that birthright is still yours today, even though Satan has stolen it? By deceiving Eve and Adam, causing them to sin, Satan took away mankind's birthright as children of God. However, God initiated an eternal plan. It was something that God had purposed way before. He initiated a plan that destroyed Satan's strategy. Through Jesus, God's Son, coming into the world to die for sin, for our sin, for my sin, for your sin, the way to God has been opened again for all who believe. And listen to what the Word of God says in John chapter 1, verse 12. To all who received him, that's Jesus, to all who received Jesus, who believed in his name, he gave the rights to become children of God. It's a birthright through born again. We receive the right, the birthright to be called children of God. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians in 1 verse 11, in Christ we have obtained an inheritance. Peter the Apostle says, we have been born again into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept for you in heaven. Now, they are words spoken. The question is, am I mad to believe in the power of words? In the power of God's word? See, God is the God who spoke and brought into existence all that is. He is God who sustains all things. Am I mad to believe God has given me an inheritance in Christ Jesus, his Son? Are you mad to believe that God has given you an inheritance in Christ Jesus, his Son? An inheritance which, among many other things, means I'm forgiven for all my sin. I'm adopted into God's family. I've purpose and meaning in life. I've received everlasting life. Am I mad to believe in the power of God's words? Mad to believe his promises to me? I'd be mad not to. So would you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you tonight for the wonderful